Hey, Trace, amen again. I tell you, I think I've relayed to some of you before that I thought that if I, now this is just me, I thought if I retained the title deacon, I'd be safe. That's to say the wrong church. Amen. Amen. I found that out. Hallelujah. Let's have a word of prayer before we proceed. And dear and blessed Lord, our God and our Father, we just thank and praise you, Lord, and we bless you. We thank you for all that you have drawn here today, Lord. We know it's by your eternal decree and work and mercy and grace. And for those that are apart from us, that are in any ailment or discomfort, Lord, we pray blessing, we pray encouragement, and Lord, according to your will, healing. And our Lord, bless in the ears and hearts and minds of the hearers. Blessed through your servant, O God, that your word would be spoken. Thy will is done, O God. Receive all glory, honor, and praise for all. In Jesus' name, amen. Our designated reader is Pastor, and we're going to ask you all to turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy, the first chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and for a context and a text, we're going to look at, light upon verses 7 through 11. For a context, that which goes before and aft, and our text will be drawn from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 through 11. Now, I'm going to ask our pastor to read the context, verses 7 through 11 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, and without much comment, if any, from the King James, so that we can get a flavor of what we're going to speak about today. Just for your spiritual taste, we're going to read it from the King James, and then when we get ready to give exegesis, we'll come back and survey the Greek text. So, before he does that, I just want to give again a taste, a flavor of what we're going to be focusing on today. And it is, we're going to be taking a look at the gospel. Taking a look at the gospel. So if everyone have 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7, say amen. All right, Pastor, would you begin reading, please? From the King James Version.
2 Timothy?
Mm-hmm. 2 Timothy.
2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
For God hath not given us the spirit of fear,
mm-hmm.
but of power.
Power.
And of love.
Mm-hmm.
And of a sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord,
mm-hmm.
nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God.
Remember that word, testimony and gospel. Testimony and gospel. Put it in your memory bank. Put it away in your memory bank because we're going to come back to those. Go ahead, Pastor.
Verse 9. Who saved us and called us with an holy calling.
Mm-hmm.
Not according to our works.
Not according to our works, our being good, or trying to be good. Not. He has saved us. God has saved us. Not according to our works.
Mm-hmm. But according to his own purpose and grace.
But according to his own purpose and grace.
Uh-huh. Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
Oh, I hope that's saying something to us this morning. Which was given us, his own purpose and grace was given to us before, in Christ, before the world began or in eternity. Verse 10, passing 11.
But is now made manifest,
another word I want you to put in your memory bank, is now, it was given before the world began, but it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ,
who has abolished death
for us, God's own. Mm-hmm.
And have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
Again, manifestly, through manifestation, he has brought life and immortality, that is, to light, to the forefront, in manifestation, through the gospel. I'm tempted to go right now. Go ahead, Pastor, verse 11.
Whereunto I am appointed the preacher.
The gospel, through the gospel, whereunto, Paul says, I am appointed a preacher.
Mm-hmm. And an apostle.
And an apostle.
And a teacher of the Gentiles.
And a teacher primarily of we Gentiles. We want to this morning again take a look at the gospel. The gospel. In a scriptural examination of this phenomena, of this entity we call the gospel, certain questions obviously and immediately arise. Number one, this may arise in your mind, in your heart. What does gospel mean? It means good news or good message. Good news or a good message. Now, if it's the gospel, it got to be good. Because that's what gospel means. Good news. I can't wait. Let me go over and give you just that word good. Let's open it up. Good means that which is well-being. That which is kind, that which is profitable, and you love this one, that which is safe, that which is well-being, that which is kind, that which is profitable, it profits you, and is safe. So if it's the gospel or good news or good message, it has to embrace all those qualities. Well-being, kind, profitable, and safe. Otherwise, it's no good to you. It's not good to you. And certainly not for you. All right. So, what does it mean? It means good news or good message. Next question that might be posed is, are there more than one good messages? The answer to that is yes. There are more than one good message in the Bible, the book. Next question might be entertained to your mind is, if the whole Bible is true, and it is, and therefore it's God's word, isn't it all one gospel or one good message? If it's true and it's all God's word, isn't there just one gospel or one good message? The answer to that is no. There are seven different gospels in the Bible, encompassing seven contracts or covenants, abiding or staying in, not moving around like stuff in the cosmos, but abiding and staying in each of the seven distinct dispensations. The Gospels don't move. They are in and of their own distinct seven dispensations. The first of which is the dispensation or God's dealing with his elect in innocence. And it has a federal head. And his name is Adam. Amen. The gospel unto him was, you may freely eat of every tree in the garden, but the tree that's in the midst of the garden, for the day that you eat thereof it, you surely die. All right. The next dispensation and the good news in it, after Adam ate, he was cursed. Amen. And God in mercy, his foreordained, pre-planned mercy, gave a good message unto him. Right on the heels of cursing, the Lord blessed him. He said, the seed of the woman, the rascal that tempted you to do this, which is ordained of God, the seed of the woman gonna bruise his heel, and the seed of the woman shall bruise Satan's head, and Satan shall bruise his heel, which was manifested on Calvary. Next dispensation was human government, where in the language of that covenant, the Lord allowed men to govern themselves. In the language of that covenant. Pastor mentioned something a while ago. He mentioned foreordained or eternal decree or purpose. We're going to get to that in a minute. Human government. The good news in that one was Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord told him to build a boat. I'm going to bring a flood of waters and destroy all living. That was the good message. Next good message, that's three. Next good message was to Abraham. Come out from amongst your kinfolk. That's good. That's pretty good nowadays. Come out from amongst your kindred and your kinfolk to a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and all nations of the earth will be blessed in thee. Amen. That was a good message unto Abraham. Still haven't gotten to us in this day and time. Next good message was to Noah. Moses. Come up into the mountain, and I'll give you laws, which if the people of Israel keep, then I will be a God unto them and will bless them. If they keep my commandments, if, conditional, then they shall be unto me a holy nation. Amen, and I'll bless them. The next good message was the introduction of the kingdom. John the Baptist came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God, heaven is at hand. Repent, it's at hand. Our Lord Jesus Christ came preaching the same message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. Heaven on earth is at hand. But they rejected the king, and so the domain or dome was put on hold. They say, away with him, crucify him. Then, the next good message, and this is the one that we relish, this is the one that our spirits adore, is the grace message. God took the worst man in town who was doing everything to stamp out the name of Jesus and reveal unto him what is called the revelation of the mystery. Wherein God had a people who thought that they were not a people. Had no inkling, no idea that they was included. Amen. But we find in that message, that good message that God revealed exclusively to the Apostle Paul, we were not only just now a people, we were always Amen. God's people. And that's the one we're going to come back to very shortly. Amen. So I said the kingdom was put on hold. Amen. But it shall resume after God finishes dealing with us in the mystery or the grace dispensation. Then thy kingdom come. Then thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Devil will be bound, and then God's will. The lion will lay down with the calf and all that. But not now. We are in this present evil age. Amen. When you go outside, and as Pastor mentioned, when you look on the news at all the catastrophic situations and men, amen, not caring about their fellow man, and through greed, hogging and hoarding and so forth, and others can hardly get by, and it causing them great stress, body and mind and all. Praise God. We are in, make no mistake about it, we are in the present evil age. Praise God. Amen. But we are blessed. We are blessed now because we were blessed from eternity. And as I begin to mention words and whatnot, I think I best give you some definitions along the way. You heard me mention earlier manifestation. You heard Pastor mention actualization, because I want you to follow me. This is going to be some teaching preaching here today, and that's what we had on last Sunday. That's what we always have with Pastor, and that's what we are about. Giving doctrine and the Holy Spirit giving understanding to what we have, what we are about, and what our contract, which is the grace contract in the grace dispensation, in the mystery gospel,
yes,
what we have in that which is ours. He mentioned actual, or actualization, or actualize.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anytime you out and about and you hear the word actual or actually or any of its various derivatives, you've heard on television for years, and the actual retail price is. And if you're talking with somebody, say, didn't you graduate from so-and-so? No, actually, immediately your juices perk. You know that they're getting ready to throw down with something of great, important and truthful content when you hear that word actual in any of its derivatives. Amen. Actual, actualize. Actual is an adjective. Actualize a verb, and actualization a noun. It means existing as a fact or real, whether you see it or not. That does not matter. But it exists as a fact, not dependent on whether you see it. And that's what we're going to get to next. It is existing in the present. If it's actual, it exists in the present. The present never changes. It's always the present. If it's future, praise God. All right. Not imaginary or bygone. So actual, actualization. A fact, or it's real, it's in existence. Now, that brings us to manifestation. Here's the one that we like to hang our hat and our coat on. We shouldn't, because the scripture tells us, for we walk by faith, not supposed to walk by sight. But so many of God's people are sightseers. Amen. We want to see it. We want to see the end. We want to see the bills getting paid. We want to see the money there to be able to send the kids to college and buy a car and all that. We want to see money every week, every month. We don't want to have to walk and live by faith.
I hear you.
We're supposed to be walking by faith. But too many of God's people, including moi, we fall into sightseeing. Manifestation, here it is. That which is shown or clearly revealed. That which is made visible. Now, actualization does not depend on manifestation. Actualization is existing as a fact or real. Manifestation is when God, who actualized everything in eternity, calls us and creation to see it. Then it's manifested. Praise God. Another word is decree. Decree means to order by authority. To order into being or order it into existence. So next time you hear that word decree, you cue right in on it. It means to order into existence or reality. All right. I got one more. One last one before we go back to our text. And that is eternal or eternity. We have, and for all the years that I can remember, we have eternity mixed up with time. Just because you have a long, 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 long time, and that usually don't apply to most of our lives, we equate that to eternity. It is not. Let me tell you what eternity is, and then I'm going to give you a small illustration. Eternity is without beginning or end. It is everlasting. It is timeless. It does not have an entity of time in it. It is forever the same. It is unchangeable. No sequencing. None at all. Sequencing. First this, then that, and then that, and so forth and so on. Eternity has no sequencing. Let me throw a number out to you before I go to my text. This is a big number. I wish your mom was here. I wanted to play with her mind. It's a big number. The number I'm about to throw out there to you is more than twice the national debt of the United States and the cash reserves of the nation of China. Here it is, and I think it's right. If you had, this is in relation to eternity, a comparison. If you had 999 sextillion, I got 24 zeros here, 24. If you had 999 sextillion, 999 centillion, 999 quadrillion. Now I'm getting into the realm of what we have heard. 999 trillion, 999 billion, 999 million, 999,999. You wouldn't even scratch eternity. If you had it in years, or if you had it in ages, which scientists have shown that ages extend for millions or tens of millions of years, if you had that big 24-digit number in ages, which span for millions of years each one, you wouldn't have a dent in eternity. Eternity is totally void of time. Yeah. Hallelujah. So I just want to get the record straight. Now, back to our context. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 7. Now, Pastor, I'm going to have you to read from the Greek text now that we are in Paul's epistles, which is in our gospel, and in our dispensation, and which encompasses these words, this gospel encompasses our contract. Our contract is within the gospel, or the contractual language for the grace administration or dispensation that we're in is in the gospel of the grace of God. The contractual language is there. So beginning at verse 7, interlineal Greek text, Pastor, if you will.
2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, from the Greek text. Not forgave to us God.
Not forgave to us God.
A spirit of cowardice.
A spirit of cowardice or timidity. Mm-hmm.
But of power.
But of power.
And of love.
And of love.
And of control.
And of control. Now, the first thing the average child of God embrace when reading that is that God is talking about their own spirit. That he's given them a spirit of power so they can name it and claim it. Amen. But that is not what is being talked about here. Reaching back up in verse 6. Praise God. Paul said, contextualizing a little further, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands, meaning the Holy Spirit. Timothy's manifested conversion was earlier in Paul's ministry, and then the apostles were, the Holy Spirit was being conveyed through the laying on hand of the apostles. So it's talking about the Holy Spirit here and not something that we can muster up out of ourselves. For not gave to us God a spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love and of control. The Holy, the thing run from spirit to spirit. The Holy Spirit inhabited our spirit. Praise God. It runs from spirit to spirit. Or the new man, the Holy Spirit inhabiteth the new man. Amen. All right, verse 8, Pastor.
Verse 8, Not therefore, be thou ashamed the testimony of the Lord.
Of the testimony of the Lord.
Of us.
Of us. Now, let me go to work a little harder. Be not therefore, Paul says to Timothy, ashamed of the testimony or the witness of the Lord of us. And this word testimony or witness is in the accusative case. Now, if you don't go to the Greek language and just pick up a translation and pick up a commentary, you will not get the intended conveyance of God's word. Every commentator got their own mind. You say, well, the King James Version is the authorized version. Yeah, authorized by who? The one whose name attached to it, King James. Do you think that King James assemble your local pheasant sort, who half of them had not been to school, to translate the scriptures? No way. These were learned men who were members of the Church of England, of whom the ruling monarch was the head of, and they already had preconceived notions, opinions on the Word of God. And one of them was that we are saved in time and by some condition attached to it. But that is not the case. So, not therefore, Paul say, ashamed of the testimony. It's the accusative case. The accusative case is the direct object. When you say accusative case, I'm saying that there is a young fella that just walked in that door. I didn't say somebody just walked in that door. I said a young fella of African-American origin walked in that door. The accusative case is like that. It is the direct object. And it's singular. Testimony is singular. Mm-hmm. In other words, there are not, I want you to hear this, there are not testimonies that matter in this dispensation, but only one testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. There are not several, I almost said, call them good. There's only one good message in this dispensation.
Right.
Oh, this being heard all over the world.
Amen.
Only one testimony is singular. Paul was talking about the testimony that Timothy received from him. Don't be ashamed of that one. Hallelujah. You got everything now posing as the gospel. Praise Jesus. Amen. We're going to open this thing up and see what the gospel really is. So I'm going to quit. Let me tell you this. Preaching about earthly things and physical things is not the gospel or good news. You're going to lose them or you're going to leave them. Either they're going to leave you or you're going to leave them. I don't care what it is. I don't care who it is. There's going to be a parting. Preaching about marriage, although noble, it is not the good message that Paul is telling Timothy, amen, not to be ashamed of. It's in it, but it's not the substantive of the good message. All you're talking about is temporary things on marriage and gaining and wealth and health. All you're talking about is temporary things in a temporary environment. I think we ought to learn and understand and know the pieces who we really are. Amen. Who we really are. The average child of God. Notice what I say. The average child of God, not of the devil, of God don't have a clue who they truly are.
I hear you.
In every one of Paul's epistles, excepting one, and that's Hebrews, because he's writing. The other epistles were primarily to Gentiles. And the Hebrew epistle was primarily to Hebrew Christians. Paul was trying to bring them over to a great understanding and grace, of grace. Yeah. Praise God. So, good news, good message, good testimony. Paul is telling Timothy, don't you be ashamed of it. Many and most are preaching about temporary things in a temporary environment. That's not good. That's not good. That which is well-being, that which is kind, that which is profitable, and that which is safe. Do you know that, unfortunately, in this country, half the marriages end up in divorce? Unfortunately. And even if that doesn't happen, and it shouldn't, that relationship, even of our children, is only temporary. Yeah. And you know money, you're going to leave it to somebody else, or it's going to leave you before you get a chance to do that. Yeah. Hallelujah. Especially in these economic times that we're experiencing right now.
Yeah.
Temporary things.
Amen.
But the testimony of the Lord of us, Nor of me, Paul said, the prisoner of him. Paul, the Lord chose Paul from eternity and it was manifested on the Damascus Road. Paul was a persecutor, a blasphemer, an injurious person. He was evil dispositioned. He was not a guy that you want to be around. As Elder Liverman Nicholson said last week, when the Lord came to, after he had knocked Paul off his beast, and those that were with him led him into the town and say, the Lord went and told Ananias, go pray for him that he receive his sight. You think Ananias said, Lord, just let me get my coat. I'll be there in a minute. No, honey. We're talking about Saul. Praise God. The Lord chose one of the worst guys, an opponent of the name of Christ, tried to step out Christianity, amen, to head up the grace dispensation. Oh, bless Jesus. My friends, your Bible, some of them got red writing in them. That is not the testimony that Paul is talking about here. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ But that is not the testimony or the witness that Paul is talking about here for Timothy not to be ashamed of. Yeah. Our Lord Jesus Christ was a proponent and a propagator of the gospel of the kingdom. Read Matthew 5 and 23. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. In Acts 20 and 21, Paul said, the testimony which I received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The Lord Jesus gave unto Paul the revelation of the mystery in which is the gospel of the grace of God, wherein it depicts us who we truly are, not just in time when you thought you got saved, but it showed that you were always a child of God. But in all of Paul's epistles, amen, I read heading script of them, praise God, and he always, in all of them but Hebrews, he said, grace and peace to all those Gentiles. Grace and peace. And in Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, he said, grace, mercy, and peace. That was the only derivative. And all those epistles. And guess what? He said, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, I said we don't know who we are. My father's name, that young man there, I named him after him, is Horace Daniel Gavin. But the scripture said, this is from God, our Father, even the Lord Jesus Christ. There seems to be a dilemma here. No, it's not. Horace Gavin, according to the genealogy from Adam, was my father according to the flesh. God, the eternal spirit, is my father according to the spirit. Yes. Eternally. Yes. The spirit. God, our father, who placed us in this earthly environment after he created it. Who placed us in the fleshly division of families, amen, that we all have. Amen. I wish somebody would say, I don't believe that. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Pastor, would you go with me to the book of Hebrews, the second chapter? I'm going to read two things. No, Pastor, let's go to John. Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 13 first. I meant to read this earlier, but when you get up here, things change.
I hear you.
I want you to go with me to the book of John, the third chapter. Amen. And we're just going to take one verse, and I won't go to the Greek on it. I think it'll suffice, Pastor, if we just read it from the King James Version. And if I see any grammatical which I see the perfect indicative about to send it up. But I just want you to get the thrust of what we are talking about when we said you are in Christ. You were always in Christ. And you say, back in your mind, say, well, I'm in church. I'm sitting here in a body. I'm going to work tomorrow if I have a job. And so forth and so on. And actualization as opposed to manifestation. See, we have, the battle is in our minds. Our minds have to be reprogrammed through our gospel. Pastor, you have John chapter 3, verse 13. If you have it, I want you to begin read and listen carefully.
John chapter 3, verse 13.
The Lord Jesus talking.
From the King James.
From the King James.
And no man has ascended up to heaven.
That's the perfect tense. The perfect ascended is in the perfect, it's a perfect indicative. It's a fact, and the perfect tense is a completed action in the past with the results coming right down to the present. Whenever the present is. If the present was 1806, that was the present. Completed action in the past with the results coming right down to the present. All right? And no man hath ascended up to heaven,
but he that came down from heaven.
And nobody going to the heavenlies, but those that came from the heavenlies, or that one that came from, or any that came from the heavenlies. What else does it say, Pastor?
The Son of Man which is in heaven.
The Son of Man who is in heaven. And that is in the present tense. Mm-hmm. He said, no one hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, the Son of Man which is in heaven, and he was on earth speaking to the apostles. We're talking about manifestation and actualization. My friend, we are in Christ Jesus. God is our Father according to the eternal Spirit, and you will only find that regarding Gentiles or anyone else in those 14 epistles that were given through revelation to the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
We're talking about good news here.
Amen.
What gospel? What the gospel is. Now, Pastor, let's turn to Hebrews and more corroboration. That was corroboration from a different gospel. Corroboration means simply to confirm and strengthen. And we went to another gospel to lend verification or confirmation or strengthening to the truth. It is not the main testimony, but it gives corroboration or confirmation to the main testimony. Now, this main testimony is in our contract in the book of Hebrews. Pastor, I want you to read Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 13 and 14. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 13 and 14.
From the King James?
From the King James, Pastor.
Hebrews chapter 2,
mm-hmm.
verse 13.
Uh-huh.
And again I will put my trust in him.
And again I'll put my trust in him.
And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me.
Behold, I and the children which God hath given me, aorist tense, past completed action and indicative mood. It's a fact that these spoken of, God hath given him. Verse 14 is where I want to get, Pastor Reed.
For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood.
For as much then as the children are partakers. We were children first, and we partook. God calls us to partake, or enable us to partake, or he decreed us in partaking of what? Of
flesh and blood.
And blood. Uh-huh.
He also himself
likewise
took part of the same. That through death he might destroy him. That had the power of death, that is the devil.
You seeing a little closer now who you truly are? Amen. We are children of God. So it's in our gospel. It has to be profitable. It has to be safe. It has to be kind. It has to be well-being unto us. Of the testimony and witness of the Lord of us. Nor of me, Paul said, the prisoner of him, but rather suffer ill the good news, or suffer ill with the good news. Now, that's the one thing that preachers today don't want to do, preachers nor saints. If suffering involved, we stay away from it. We want to live lavishly and build kingdoms as such. But Paul here is telling Timothy that just like I have suffered for the gospel's sake or the good news' sake, don't you be ashamed of the testimony, but rather suffer ill with, and this is in the aorist tense, if the Lord had decreed suffering, then it will manifest. Don't be ashamed of it.
I hear you.
If he had decreed more suffering, it will manifest. Don't be ashamed of it. and don't back away from it. Paul suffered more than many in shipwrecks all. Paul was homeless. He didn't have, like Christ, didn't have a place to call his own. He was always on the go in his ministering and such. Amen. So suffer ill with the good news according to the power of God having saved us, or the one having saved us. Now here's another point I want to bring out. We think that we get saved. Saints, you don't get saved. You can't do enough to get saved. You can't live good enough to get saved. The script here, and this is in our gospel, our good message, it said the power of God, the one having saved us. And it's in the aorist tense again. And it's in the genitive case. It is him. Salvation belonging to him. He did it. Aorist tense, it wasn't in time in 1975 or 1985 or 1955, as Ella indicated and said that it wasn't last Sunday, but he saved us in eternity. And he finished it then. All of the decrees of God, our being saved in eternity, as well as our being a sinner in eternity, were finished at once in the decree. Hallelujah. We were both saved and lost in the one decree of God. Why do you think that is called the salvational plan? Praise God. Let me look at them three words. I saved them for this moment. In the will of God. You've heard me say this before. The will is an intended purpose. Or it is that which pleases God. It's what pleases him. Plan. Plan is a design arrangement beforehand. You don't do something and then plan. You plan. Praise God. But in God, the decree swipes it at once. The planning, the will, and next, the purpose. So the plan answer, how will he accomplish? Purpose. It is the intention or aim of the plan. And that to magnify God's eternal glory. My friends, everything about you, everything that you've gotten yourself into, or everything that you say somebody else got you into, everything about you is by design. And it is to magnify the glory of God's grace. If you are very learned in the scriptures, then you know that it wasn't you by your learnedness. If you think you know something and you really don't, amen, when you are manifested or appear in glory, it will be revealed to you, how could you think that? Or how could I have thought that? Amen. If you didn't even hear the name of Jesus, and yet you appear in glory, such as the one that never heard the name of Christ or the gospel preached. Hallelujah. When you appear in glory, oh, God is going to get all the praise and all the honor. If you are a fetus that didn't even make here, you know you didn't do anything. In your mature status in Christ, appearing in glory, God is going to get all the praise. In knowledge or not knowledge. In understanding or not understanding, God is the one that did it all in his own plan for his own purpose. Amen. And he did it severally to us all to magnify his eternal glory. Praise God. And therefore we have it according to purpose. God's purpose. His intention or aim. And it comes right down to your course. Comes right on down to your course. Hallelujah. The Lord has ordained a course for every one of his elect. Your course might have been easier than my course. Amen. My course might have been a shoe-in compared to someone else's course.
I hear you.
Let me tell you something. The Apostle Paul, you would think, as we say around the ministerial staff, that God would have given the Apostle Paul carte blanche. Amen. He reveals such a tremendous volume of truth to him, and he had such tremendous responsibilities to execute that course. Amen. You think God would have given him carte blanche, but he had hardly no money, didn't have nowhere to call his own home. He had no commerce. He didn't have time for it. He didn't even have time to be attached to a family. That was his course. The saints of God that were slain and eaten by vicious beasts in the Roman arenas, that was their course. The Lord enabled them in his own time to endure what they endured. Praise God. It's according to course. So don't look over, as it were, in the other person's yard. Say, they don't never have nothing. You know, or do nothing. Praise God. Don't worry about it. I know one of our brethren in another gospel, Lightning, got in trouble about that. The Lord told Peter, he said, lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. Lovest thou me? Feed my lambs. Lord, you know I love you. You know I love you. Lovest thou me? Third time. Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Feed my lambs. And then, as they begin to break up, just before the Lord's ascending into the heavenlies, John was standing over minding his own business. Wasn't even thinking about bugging Peter. Peter said, Lord, what about this man? And Jesus looked at Peter and said, if I will, if it's my will, if it's that which pleases me, amen, that he tarry till I come, what's that to you? Amen. Do what I told you to do. And the same thing with us, saints of God. You may, amen, been having it hard in your body. You may have been having it hard in your finances. You may have been having it hard in your family. You may have been having it hard in your flesh, amen, or health. You may have been having it hard in your substance. You may have been having it hard in your bills. You may have been having it hard in whatever. Folks seem to always take you wrong. Amen. But rejoice. That's your course. No one else will get more glory, amen, or attention in our heavenly manifestation than any other one. And I like how Ella Nicholson said the other Sunday about this thing of ethnicity. Thank God ethnicity has no place in the body of Christ. Because we'll be doing this in. Hallelujah. It has no place. We will all, amen, be praising and loving the head who is Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're about through here. And having the one having saved us. God saved us. And he did it according to the aorist tense in eternity. So that cuts out you being baptized any which way. Some of you all been told you don't have it because you haven't spoken in tongues. If you were saved in eternity, that cuts that out.
I hear you.
If you didn't go to a certain church or believe things a certain way, if you were saved in eternity, that cuts that out. Hallelujah. Amen. If you don't measure up in social status as some that go to so-called big churches, amen. If you were saved in eternity, and if they are saved, eternity cuts it out. It cuts it completely out. Hallelujah. You say, well, I was bad. I was never good. You too? Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. You were saved in eternity. That cuts it all out.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. All right. And he called. Calling set us apart. Now, this thing about sanctification, let's get it straight. If you didn't get straight with Pastor and L. Nixon and L. Liveman, let's finally get it straight. Sanctified, holy, sanctification don't mean wearing your dress as long as the bottom of my pants. It don't mean wearing your hair nappy as you can get it. It simply means, just like you did, some of the boys did when they were children playing basketball, and the neighborhood kids came together and were choosing teams. You say, I want the captain going to be of this team. I want him. And then so the next guy, he got time to pick. I want him. Each one sanctified the one whom they chose. They set them apart. God's choice of you, which is in the aorist tense, call, set apart or sanctified him, not here, but another place. God set you apart in eternity. And then about how you look, how you don't look. You were sanctified and set up. The call, the selection set you apart. Yes. And according, praise God, or with reference to, not with reference to the works. And none of us measure up. But rather, according to his own purpose, his own intention or aim, or his design arrangement beforehand, and grace. And I'm going to leave these two for the next outing. I heard that I was going to have to preach throughout the summer, every now and then, so I'm not going to try to give it all today. I'm going to cut off here, and suffice it to say. Let me say one last thing. One last thing. I got 6 minutes. Praise God. Be alert, saints of the Lord. Be alert. Pray God for knowledge and to renew our minds. Because we've been fed a bill of goods for many a year. A bill of goods. Everything around us affect us. Oh, Lord. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. When the things above are the things that are supposed to affect us. Amen. Don't let the things that are happening. Last couple of months, it was earthquake in China. Something else in Myanmar. And something else somewhere else in the world. Then before you could almost flick the TV, it came home. Floodings in the Midwest. Rivers rising. Levees breaking. Amen. And somebody told me that we are surrounded by 5 lakes. Amen. No, let me put an adjective on that. We are surrounded by 5 great lakes. Who knows what will happen? Gas is still going up. Washington could do something about it, but won't and don't. Praise God. We got bad news, economic news here. Bad economic news there. Someone said to me last Sunday, they said, you know, Deke, and I'm going to leave them anonymous. I'm not going to mention who it was. They said, you know, Deke, say God could be causing all of these things to manifest so that we will stop being so in love with and attached to this world. Amen. And the things of God are already in decree, but I believe we haven't seen anything yet, but it certainly does not touch our eternal, our always was status in Christ. Amen. See, Sister Harris, I didn't tell them you told me that. They'll never guess. God bless you, saints. God bless you.